I am Pierre Lumumba here at Ngong Wind Power Station in Kajiado County in the Republic of Kenya. And we continue apace with our focus on persons of African descent in the diaspora. And this time round, we look at Europe. And all of us know that European historians prefer to divide Europe into two, what they characterize as Western Europe and what they characterize as Eastern Europe. And this is critical because the Western Europeans have a long and sad history in the African continent. And this history is long because it started with slavery. Then, if you may, it graduated into the partition of Africa, the Berlin Conference of 1884 to 1885. Is what divided the continent of Africa into the countries that we now know, into spheres of influence, so that the European powers of the day, to mean Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Italy, Spain, and Portugal, and of course Belgium, were involved in the partition of Africa. And this partition was so arbitrary that it left Africa divided and persons of African descent finding themselves in what are now the independent African countries. Of course, Berlin was not undone until African countries regained their independence, starting in earnest with, one say, Egypt in 1922, Sudan 1956, and of course Sub-Saharan Africa with Ghana in 1957, but the apartheid regime continued in South Africa until 1990s, and of course the Zimbabwean or Rhodesian situation until the 1900s. But during that period, persons of African descent had been taken to different parts of Europe, depending on who colonized you. If the Portuguese colonized you, they took you to Portugal to study in Lisbon. If the French colonized you, they took you to Paris, and their favorite university was La Sorbonne. And if the British colonized you, they either took you to Cambridge or London or Oxford. Of course, the Belgians also took you to Brussels. And the Germans, before they were eliminated after the World War in 1918, they also took you to some village polytechnics, which have now graduated into universities. That is how you find Africans in the diaspora, from the continent of Africa. Those who went during the slaves, and there were not many of them, because the slaves were normally taken to the Caribbean, but there were those who went to the continent of Europe. Then there is another category, persons of African descent who, having gone to the Caribbean in Jamaica, were then brought to the continent. Particularly the British did so when they were doing the Underground Railway. So you have two streams, those from the continent of Africa and another stream who are taken from the Caribbean and other parts of the world. And it was a lot easier for persons of African descent to be integrated within Western Europe, because remember, when the European traders came, they also Christianized Africans, and there were streams of Christianization. Then the lands that were in many parts of Africa were divided among these religious organizations: the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, through the Church Missionary Society, the Lutherans, the Methodists, so that the church in its organized form is never innocent in terms of looking at Africans in the diaspora. So these are the people that you now find in Europe, courtesy of slavery, courtesy of colonization. But there is a third category. This third category came as a result of colonization and decolonization at once, when African education systems were tied to European education system. In Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, until the 1970s, the examinations in secondary schools were actually administered by the University of Cambridge. The same was true in West Africa, in Nigeria, and in Ghana. If it was not the University of Cambridge, it was the University of London. And many of the universities were also affiliated in that way. So these are the people who are taken for training in different institutions in Western Europe, and they remain there. They have become citizens of the United Kingdom, they have become citizens of France, they have become citizens of Portugal, some have become citizens of Spain, some have become citizens of Germany, some have become citizens of Belgium. That is a crop that is there. But there is something that is unique that happened as regards what was then referred to as Eastern Europe before the collapse of the Soviet Union. There was an interaction between African freedom fighters and the Soviet Union, which is now the Russian Federation in many ways. So what happened is that in some ways, Russia started integrating with freedom fighters, whether it was Patrice Emery Lumumba in Congo, or it was Amilcar Cabral in Guinea-Bissau, or Kwame Nkrumah in Ghana, or Gamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt, and much later Agostinho Neto in Angola, or Eduardo Mondlane or Samora Machel in Mozambique. Russia became this country that was the alternative. And it is not lost on me that in 1960s, Gamal Abdel Nasser actually set up an office in Cairo via which Africans could go and study in Russia. And the university was actually named the Friendship, the Patrice Lumumba, based in Moscow. So there is that crop of people who went to Russia and studied in Russia and even married in Russia and have children who came out of those unions and are now settling in Russia. And even beyond that, in the recent past, there has been a movement of people to Russia because it offers opportunity in technology in the area of agriculture. And these are Africans in the diaspora in those parts of the world to be found largely in Moscow and St. Petersburg. And in that part of the world, you also find Africans in countries such as Slovakia and the Czech Republic and Hungary. What are they doing and how are they participating? They are participating in a very unique way because it is not always lost on me that as early as the 1970s, we had radio broadcasts in Kiswahili from Moscow. And many African countries were listening and Africans were listening to Kiswahili broadcast from Moscow in the 1970s, 1980s. And that in itself is indicative of the connectedness that existed between Africans in the diaspora for whom they were catering. And we also had, in terms of influence, the building of dams. We know the Aswan High Dam and other initiatives that came from that part of the world. In the Western side, the neo-colonial project is still alive and well. And it is in this regard that we must understand the relationship between Africans in the diaspora in Western Europe, because the connection is colonial. Is colonial in the sense that the British colonized the countries and after independence they created they inducted and grafted African countries into the Commonwealth, and they continue to relate from a very condescending standpoint. The same thing is with La Francophonie, which has seen France continue to dominate her former colonies. The Portuguese are not as strong as they should be, but they too linguistically try to do so. The Belgians, of course, are also weak, but they also try to deal with their lone colony called the Democratic Republic of Congo. So in a nutshell, we see a diaspora in Europe that is diverse, a diaspora which is beginning now, particularly in countries such as France. The presence of the diaspora, particularly from Algeria, is beginning to threaten the French social base, because in that way, they are beginning to tell the French, we are here to stay. And you can see the panic that there has been in that part of the world. The British are also beginning to bear the brunt when they see even the leader of some of their parties are of African descent, and the population of persons of African descent and their presence in different sectors of the economy is so important, and their remittances is also being factored in many African economies. So in a nutshell, even the African diaspora in Europe, whether they be in Western Europe or in Russia or in other countries in Eastern Europe, are beginning to acquire this consciousness, the consciousness that they have a role to play, and that even if they relate with the rest of the world, they must do so from an Afrocentric perspective. And Afrocentricity in this regard must be seen as the exorcism of low self-esteem and the realization that they can only relate to the rest of the world from a standpoint of mutual respect. And I think that this is good for the continent of Africa when our sons and daughters, wherever they are in the world, are beginning to say, home is best. Even if we are not physically present at home, we must participate in the affairs of the motherland. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to wrap our minds around issues regarding the continent of Africa, but let us take a break. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much.